Hello, McPherson, Kansas. My first time, 43 years old, ever been in the state of Kansas. I came from Kentucky through Fordland, Missouri. And there's a lot of bad things that are said about Kentucky and probably Missouri, and some of them might be true. But we've heard the term hillbilly, and I've heard that term all my life. And I finally just this past year looked it up in the dictionary to see what it said, and it's used in a couple different ways. Sometimes it's used derogatory, just to say something bad about somebody, kind of a backwoods, uneducated type of person. And I do want to tell you, I did go to Bible school and graduated, and I need to tell you that because you may not know that. And time this camp meeting's over, you still may not know that. But it's good to be here tonight. We looked that word up, and it's used in a derogatory way, but it's also used in a geographical way to describe people from certain parts of the country. And the word billy was a word used for man, and we know what a hill is. I guess people in Kansas know what a hill is. It's a high ground. It's not flat, and that's what a hill is. And a hillbilly is a man from the hills. And geographically, it said they were found in Appalachia and also in Ozark, in the Appalachian Mountains and the Ozark Mountains. So I came from the Appalachian Mountains and moved to the Ozark Mountains. And one of our members there at the church said, you're a double hillbilly. So, amen. I got one of those camp meeting announcements. Brother Goodwin brought one of those camp meeting announcements to church and hung one up, and I looked at that, and you know, all those people on there, they looked so religious and dignified, and then I saw my picture, and I remember when we tried to make that picture, I had a service somewhere, they wanted a picture, and my wife tried to do the best she could with me in one night, and well, I don't know how many pictures we took, and that was the best one. So you don't want to see the other ones. Amen. Sitting up here on the platform, I felt like the who's he among the who's who. And, you know, it's amazing all the different preachers. Have you ever heard two preachers just alike? I've never. I've heard a lot of preachers. Never heard two just alike. They're all unique. And isn't it amazing how God has made us all different and uses our abilities? And, you know, Saul's armor didn't fit David, did it? Amen. And we all have to just ask God to help us in our own way. We're trusting the Lord for His help this week. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you go and hear a new preacher you've never heard before and you wonder, what's this going to be like, you know? And I remember hearing Brother James Plank and I thought, wow, what a tremendous preacher. And then some years later, I'd heard Brother Harry Plank, his dad was going to be in an area close by, and I thought, well, I'm going to go hear Brother Harry Plank. And I had preconceived ideas of how he would be preaching, and it was nothing like I thought. And they were both tremendous preachers, but very different and unique, and that's how God has made it. Of course, I read over there in the book of Acts, you know, sometimes we think pretty religiously and scripturally, and I read over there in Acts when Paul was at Athens, there on Mars Hill waiting for Timothy and Silas. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And he was there on Mars Hill with the Epicureans and the Stoics who came to do nothing but to hear or to tell of some new thing. And when the Apostle Paul showed up, they said, what will this babbler say? And, of course, we're saved people. We wouldn't talk like that, but that's how they talked there in Athens. And we're trusting the Lord to help us tonight. Amen. We're turning to the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I invite you to stand with me for the reading of the word and for prayer. You know, God placed Ezekiel down in a valley which is full of dead, dry, scattered bones. And tonight our brother mentioned all the different states and places we're from. And I hope the Lord will help us like He did Ezekiel. Amen. And I'm halfway tempted to ask you during the prayer time here over the message to, if we could just barricade those last seven rows. Because I about halfway feel like Ezekiel. We're all scattered here tonight. But it would look like a big crowd if we'd all kind of move up and scoot in. Well, we done killed the service. But you don't have to tonight, but I hope we can get some help this week and the Lord pull us together and we can move up and move in and the Lord would help us in a special way. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Let us pray. Fathers, we bow in your presence. We thank you for the faithfulness of God. We thank you for your spirit here tonight, for your help. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that the Kansas State Holiness Association is celebrating 128 years of shining the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God the message is still going out and the message hasn't changed and God is still the same. And we just praise you and pray that you would help us tonight. And throughout this week, we pray the blessed Holy Ghost would have his way. Father, we'll praise you for what you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about out there, but it's pretty warm up here. Amen. It's so good to be with the quails again. I appreciate those songs that they led in the congregation, those special songs they ministered to my heart. Got to hear Brother Case last year at Mount Zion Camp there in Missouri. And thank the Lord for him and the fact that he's here with us, looking forward to those Bible classes this week. And looking forward to hearing Brother Neville. Have never met Brother Neville, but we're looking forward to that, and it's a joy to be here with the good ones. We love and appreciate the good ones, and we're glad to have a support group here with us from Missouri tonight. Amen. And I'm glad to have my wife with me. She's here with me tonight. I'd have her stand, but I don't know. I'd get in trouble if I did that. And then I have three teenagers here with me. They have my last name. And glad they're here, and I don't think they want to stand either, but you can get acquainted with them, and we're glad to have some folks from our church here. I'd like to say to you tonight, it's not about who we are. It's about who He is. Amen. It's not about who we are. Moses, He was a great man. He had a great background, a great education, a unique life, and a miracle of his birth and the fact that he even lived to be a man, and such a unique, inspired of God life, how God shaped the circumstances of his life. And we find that Moses was born during a time, it says, when there was a Pharaoh and the people of Egypt, that they knew not Joseph. I've read that over and over. The people of Egypt, during the time of Moses' birth, they knew not Joseph. And I think, how in this world can you not know Joseph if you are from Egypt? If you were taking Egyptian history, it ought to be one of the main chapters in the book of how this governor, this slave turned to prime minister, saved Egypt from a 7-year famine that would have led to the starvation of thousands and thousands of people. But somehow they failed to give the complete and true and accurate history there in Egypt. And as the years went by, they kind of purged the textbooks. And they didn't want God in their schools. And they took God out. And they took Joseph out. And they made things harder on the Hebrew people. Amen. And so there came a time when there was some folks. And folks, we're living here in America today. And there are people that do not know John 3:16. They do not know Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We're living in more and more of a heathen culture, and we have leaders today that's promised hope and change and promised even to change our history. Well, you can't change your history unless you start changing the facts. Amen. Moses was born in a dark time, but God blessed him and helped him and protected him, kept his hand upon him. We're not going to go into detail about his early youth and how the princes raised him, how he's raised in the best schools of Egypt, and yet he was a Hebrew. There came a time when he was an adult, about 40 years old. He went out to check on his brethren, the Hebrews, and he saw them being mistreated by the Egyptians, and he went out and slew an Egyptian. Another day he went out and saw two of his Hebrew brethren arguing, and he went in to break up the fight. And they said, well, what are you going to do with us? Are you going to kill us like you did the Egyptian the other day? Moses realized he'd been found out, that he had killed an Egyptian. Pharaoh was not going to be happy about that. So he took off to the land of Midian. Amen. It was God's will for him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, but he had the wrong time. And he had the wrong method. Amen. And sometimes we can get our clocks off schedule and we can have the wrong method. Amen. But tonight it's not about who we are. It's about who God is. Moses, that was the first thing Moses asked God when God is calling him. And I've heard the cry. I've heard the groans. I've heard the despair and seen the despair there in Egypt of the Hebrew people. Around 400 years they've been slaves. And God was going to have mercy. And God in his timing was going to send a deliver in his methods, not Moses' methods. When God called Moses, he said, come now, there in verse 10, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Moses' first question was, who am I? And I want to say to you tonight, that's the wrong question. It doesn't matter who we are. I get concerned sometimes about who we are. I love the old saints. Some of my favorite people are the old saints of God, have made an impression upon my life. I've seen them blessed, and I've heard their prayers and heard their testimonies, and I've had the privilege over the years of pastoring some elderly folks that have gotten up time after time, prayer meeting after prayer meeting, tell about how good God is. And I, as a pastor and someone that loved them, knew that they were going through difficult times and dark times, and their life was not a bed of roses, but still somehow the grace of God helped them to stand up on a Wednesday night prayer meeting, get their hand up in the air and give God praise and talk about how good God is and how good God's ways are. And as a young pastor, that's thrilled my soul. And I thought, Lord, those people been serving you longer than I've been living. Thank God for the old saints. They've blessed my soul over the years. Amen. And I get concerned sometimes when I see some of them passing on. hear folks talk about the old preachers. A lot of them I never did even get to hear. And sometimes I even wish I was born in a different day. I'd like to have lived back there. I wish I'd have known T.M. Anderson. I'd like to have been there at Asbury College in 1950 and 1951 when that great revival took place and T.M. Anderson said some 50,000 people sought God. I'd love to have been there. But I wasn't there. Some of those saints of God that's prayed the prayers and paid the bills and stood by the stuff and been committed, many of them God is calling on home. And as a pastor, I get concerned sometimes about the level of commitment from the younger generations, my generations and other generations, and get concerned sometimes about who we are. But that's not the question that we need to consider tonight. It's not about who we are. Amen. It's about who He is. And Moses asked, "Who am I?" And the Lord said, "I'm going to be with you." And he went on down and in verse 13, Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say unto me, what is his name?" They've been in Egypt for around 400 years. They'd been around the Egyptian idolatry, and Moses was concerned they wouldn't even know who God is. What is his name? "What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you." Praise the Lord. I hear people talking about Israel, and I read in the Bible, I study about Israel and the places. And one of these days, I'd love to go to Israel. I've never had that privilege. I would love to go. I'd love to see the Sea of Galilee. I'd love to go to the places our Lord was when He was here on this earth. But I want to tell you, more than I want to go to where He's been, I want to be where He's at. He's not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. And it'd be nice to be some of the places where He walked. But friend, I want to be where He is now. He is the ever-present God. He is the I am that I am. Praise the Lord forevermore. And we get concerned about the day and hour that we're living in, the situations, the leadership of our country today and of the world today. We get concerned about some of the laws. I thought about there in my home state of Kentucky and in our new state we're living in now, Missouri, and they're very similar. And back there a few years ago there in Kentucky, approximately 2/3 of the people voted that marriage is between one man and one woman. Just recently, Missouri had voted that, and they told me 71% of the Missourians voted that marriage is between one man and one woman. But we've got judges that override the will of the people, and they don't care for the fact that 2/3 of the folks voted against it, or 71% of the folks voted against it, and people all over the country. But these judges make rulings. You've got to accept it. They ignore the will of the people. I don't know about you, but I get upset and I get concerned when these things happen. Sometimes our blood pressure gets up maybe, and we get stirred up and we get concerned and we wonder what's going to happen. And they've taken prayer out of school and they've legalized abortion and legalized gambling and legalized nearly everything God's Word condemns. And we get concerned about the situations at hand. We wonder what's going to happen down here. We're living in a dark day spiritually in many ways, but Moses lived in a dark day back there as well. Daniel lived in a dark day. He was taken from home. Daniel, along with three of his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, we know him as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were taken hundreds of miles away from home to a foreign land there in Babylon. That would be discouraging. That would be a dark time to be living in, to be living in slavery, hundreds of miles from home and family. They've changed their names. They're trying to change everything about them. But thank God Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself.
May the Lord help us to purpose in our hearts, no matter what the Democrats and Republicans, no matter what the Supreme Court and the President and the Senate and the Congress, no matter what they do in the United Nations and the ACLU and all the others, whatever they do, Lord, help us. Help the folks of the Kansas State Holiness Association tonight to purpose in our heart, Lord. We're not going that way. We're not going to go that route. Amen. And King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he couldn't even remember it. Called his wise men to tell him what he dreamed and give the interpretation. They said, well, tell us what you dreamed and we'll give the interpretation. They said, we can't tell you what you dreamed. You tell us what you dreamed, we'll give the interpretation. He said, oh, no. He knew their game. Finally, he was going to have all the wise men killed. But Daniel, as a young student there, prayed to God and had a prayer meeting with his three friends. And they prayed to the God of heaven that God would reveal to them, save their lives and the lives of the wise men, and reveal the dream and the interpretation. And God answered prayer, and Daniel went to the king. And one of the things Daniel wanted to know that God showed to Daniel, there in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, it is God, he removeth kings and setteth up kings. The old saints said no one voted God on the throne and no one's going to vote him off the throne. From everlasting to everlasting, he's God. Amen. But Daniel, in his giving of the dream and the interpretation, proved a point. And he said, your wise men could not do this. Amen. Seems like no one in our state capitals or nation's capital, either one, knows what to do. Democrats and Republicans, they don't have a clue. Now, I'm a preacher, I'm not a politician, and I'm not an economist, but I can tell you how America can get out of this recession that we're living in. If people start remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy, that'll go a long ways toward getting us out of this recession. And start paying your tithes. There's two, step two. Amen. Herman Cain had a 999 plan. I got one, remember the Sabbath day and pay your tithes. I believe it'd bring about a national revival. Amen. It's God that removeth kings and setteth up kings. Daniel said, your wise men could not know the interpretation. They could not know the dream, nor give the interpretation. But Daniel said this, and it was a point he wanted to make there in verse 28 of Daniel chapter 2. But there is a God in heaven. Praise the Lord for that tonight. There is, and there still is. We get concerned. I think about Psalms 2 and the fact that David wrote this psalm, number 2, and how relevant it is today. Why do the heathen rage? They're raging. They are raging. Why do the heathen rage? The people imagine a vain thing. They're imagining so many vain things. Look what it says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. They are against God. And when these puny judges do the things they do, it makes us sick and it disheartens us and we wonder what in the world's going to happen and so forth. But I want to tell you, friend, the divine response here in verse 4 of Psalms 2, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. I want to remind this crowd tonight that God is not nervous. God is not worried. God is not shaking. He's not calling 911 meetings in heaven wondering how he's going to respond to the ACLU or the Supreme Court's decisions. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. God is doing fine. Did you hear me tonight? God is doing great. He's still God. Thank God His nerves aren't shattered. His hair isn't gray. He's still working wonders in His mighty way. Praise the Lord. He also gave some advice to these kings and judges. Chapter 2, verse 10, there of Psalms, he said, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges. They're live streaming this. I hope it's going to our capitals. Supreme Court, you need to hear this. Take notes on this. Verse 10, be wise now, therefore, you too, Mr. President. Oh, ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Praise the Lord, folks. Our ways are not effective. They are failing. Our power is not enough. And sometimes we try to do things. I feel like sometimes our services, our churches and camps and revivals, we have wonderful speakers and wonderful singers and great talent. And the finances sometimes come in pretty well. And we go through the motions. But we need God. Our ways are not enough. Our power is not enough. And sometimes we get discouraged doing it our way and realize it's not working. And some people quit. But I want to encourage the saints of God tonight and tell you that God's way works. God's way still works in 2015. God's way still works. His power is still sufficient. We can look to Him. We can trust Him. We can lean on Him. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight the eternal God is our refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And it says there in Malachi 3 and verse 6, for I am the Lord God. I change not. I feel real good about my God. I'm proud of my God. I love my God. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. If I was something else, I'd be embarrassed. But I'm glad to be a Christian. I have a wonderful God. He's my best friend. He's helped me. He's blessed me. And I praise His holy name. And He's doing just fine, in case you're wondering. The Hebrew writer said He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise His holy name. I love what the book of Philippians says. There in chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Praise the Lord. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Praise the Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Let me start all over there at verse 10. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise His holy name. Amen. I want to remind us He's still God. The God of the mountain is still God of the valley. The God that has brought revivals that they were singing about and those reformations and those movings of God in yesterday is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Finally, in closing, there in Revelation chapter 19, says there starting in verse 11, and I saw heaven open, behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. How many can testify that he's faithful and true tonight? Hallelujah. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He's won many battles. He's won many victories. There are many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Praise his holy name. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's still God. And folks, if we'll follow, His word's still true. His promise still true. His ways, His methods still work. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we'll mind God, there's no shortage in Him. As we say, there are no boundaries, no limits to what God can do. Praise the Lord forevermore. Let's stand, be dismissed. Thank God. Remember all the announcements our brother shared with us? Well, I saw the vice president around here somewhere. Not talking about the one in D.C., I'm talking about the one here. All right, brother, would you dismiss us, please?